Isn't this a sports show?
It's a wet and wild, wacky Wednesday.
Woo!
Almost entirely.
If you're new to the Wednesday show, it is wet, it is wild, it is wacky.
It's Wiley Wiley.
It is.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Hump Day is here.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
First of all, you talk so damn fast sometimes, it's hard to understand that. So I'm not defending myself because I am a terrible listener. Everyone knows that.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm a little concerned for my digestive system later, but, you know, that's just Taco Bell, right? Mark that.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ah, yes. The joys of
a good intro.
Go ahead and interrupt me.
Okay.
We got literally 2 seconds.
You want me to join in too?
How would you start the show, Charlie?
I don't know. That's your show.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
You know what I was thinking about doing? I was thinking about giving you guys gifts to start the show.
You said you would.
I said I was going to do it at 5.
But
so you have
not
a reason to stay engaged. I was thinking as the intro was playing, you know what? We should just do that right out of the gate. We should do that first. And now I feel like I'm out of the giving spirit because within the first literally 3 seconds of the show today, interrupted me.
I was going to say that didn't take long.
You don't ever have to say that you were going to say it, by the way. You can just say it. Just for the record.
What?
All right, so there's a lot going on, like, behind the scenes today. Beards has been in a pretty salty mood for the last couple of weeks. We might try to get to the bottom of that. I'm worried about Beards, though.
Me too.
So that's no good. We had some Japanese snacks, and they weren't good today. And they weren't, like, necessarily bad enough to, like, really get worked up about. They were just kind of baseline not good. The stories whipping around right now are kind of frustrating because we're still talking about Marcus Peters, and it's fine. We'll continue to do that, but, I mean, it'll just be different than the way most people are talking about it, I think. I don't know. And Charlie's interrupting me. But I do have gifts for Beards and Charlie, which we'll probably use that to sort of spring-load us into the second hour. Also, Beards, can you text Kevin and make sure he's good to go? Because last week we did this and he just didn't show. So that would be good to make sure. I literally just now remembered that we will also probably hear from Kevin Romery in about 40 minutes or so. The first thing I want to talk about, though, today is that I think I've identified the perfect murder weapon.
Oh.
And I don't have plans to implement this. And I'm not using this as a veiled, you know, like, just sort of like testing it out to see what the reception is so I can eventually kill Beards or whatever. Frankly, me saying it now, I think, is going to damage my chances of actually using it in the future. But if I was going to ask you guys first, what's the perfect murder weapon or substance, perhaps? Where would your brain go?
Perfect murder weapon. So you wouldn't get caught? Is that where you're going?
That's an important part of a murder, I would say. I would say that's.
I was thinking. Are you talking most effective, or are you talking most sneaky?
I'm saying you got to make this happen, and you would like to not go to prison for it.
Okay. Well,
I feel like Beards has 5 answers right now.
My brain goes immediately to something poisonous.
Right. Like I'm 3 seasons into Breaking Bad, and ricin, I think, has come up a couple times. Mm-hmm. It doesn't kick in for a little while.
Yeah.
It's like untraceable. That is good. Beers, do you have a nominee?
I'm trying to think how to phrase this perfectly.
Go for it.
Basically, a sharp icicle.
This is exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I think an icicle may be the perfect murder weapon.
Also, Seamus has said a Satan cigar.
Also plausible.
Yeah.
If you want to watch us eat bad Japanese snacks, go to the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. I think that an icicle needs to be considered as a God-tier murder weapon. It's going to have to be a pretty sizable icicle. It's going to have to be
might
real
have to sharpen
cold
it
out.
A little bit.
You might. I don't know if you would have to sharpen it. Maybe.
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
They usually kind of sharpen themselves. So,
yeah, you know. I think it's better to try to get a naturally occurring one because after the murder is played out, there is no murder weapon anymore.
Right.
It's just it's gone without a trace. So you put on a couple of gloves, give a nice shove. Melts, and there's no bringing that back to you. I thought about this yesterday as I was scraping my car and trying to think of a way that I could kill Mother Nature.
No,
actually,
use her own stuff against
her. She's given us this true gift. That's exactly what I was thinking. If you're worried about the potency of the icicle, which I think is fair, I don't know if an icicle is necessarily going to be 100% effective, but you could coat an icicle in some ricin, and I think you're good. Maybe make them eat some Japanese snacks just to sort of
prep them.
To 100%.
Soften them up.
That's good. Soften them up. Do you feel more murderable currently than usual, Beards?
I mean, probably.
I just burped.
Yeah.
And it...
Yep.
It tastes like Japanese candy.
Yeah, and again, none of the ones today is...
Which one?
The corn puff one again. There's always a freaking corn puff. Although, actually, today, everything kind of tasted the same. The corn puff and the pimple cookie and even the little strawberry chocolate things all sort of just tasted like a puff of rice or corn or something. And it's not great. Anyway, I'm a little bit upset that Beards took the correct answer here, but I do appreciate the fact that he stepped to it at all. And today we'll talk about KU and the Royals and Marcus Peters and where we move that conversation. Beer just took a phone call, though.
Nobody was there.
It was just silent? That's too bad. I was hoping it was someone calling in with a murder weapon or telling us that they hate the show. Either of those would have been fine. But I think, I don't know, I think we kind of have to start with the Marcus Peters thing. Because it just won't die. And it's probably, at this point, the quintessential February story. Where, now Jason Lockenfora has referenced a story from like 3 or 4 months ago about Clark Hunt taking issue with Marcus Peters' actions last year. That was a story at the time. It comes back up now because Lockenfora goes back and digs it up. And now Lockenfora only went back to dig it up because he wanted in on the conversation that was just sort of a rumor thrown out by Pro Football Talk. Pro Football Talk throws a rumor out there. It starts this whole ball rolling. And it's February, so whenever you're doing a couple hours of radio every day, you'll take whatever it is that fills some of that time. And that becomes a self-feeding story. And I kind of can't believe that we're still here. And I feel like most people at this point probably are cool with understanding that most people who want Peter shipped out of town want that for personal reasons. And then some people try to cover that up by saying, well, what if he doesn't want to re-sign with the Chiefs? We don't know. We have no reason to believe that that's the case. There's no information to that regard out in the universe. But I think there's actually another step of it. If you want to just give every possible benefit of the doubt to try to make this a reasonable discussion to have, could you come up with a fictional trade that would create a better Chiefs team? Because I'm not sure that you could.
The answer is no.
So I'm going to roll into something here in a second. But Charlie, first, this is your first time in this first Wednesday since this wonderful Marcus Peters story has reached the masses. How have you experienced this joyous occasion?
I mean, you say story. It's just it's ridiculous, in my opinion. It shouldn't happen. I don't know who's thrown it out there, other than obviously the names that you listed. But They're just trying to get a rise out of people. It shouldn't happen. The Chiefs would be really dumb to do something like that because he's their best offensive player and arguably one of the top three defensive players in the league.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense, especially with how much money they're paying him over the next 3 years if they pick up that fifth-year option. It's like, I think I looked up, and it's like 3 years, $27 million, basically.
If they end up picking up the option and franchise tagging him, I might be a little bit more than that. I'm not 100% sure.
I'm referencing an article from Matt Verderam that said, three years, $27.5 million, basically.
Okay, that would make some sense.
If they pick up that fifth-year option.
And then franchise him for the third year.
Right.
Because the fifth-year option would be the year after this one.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Definitely.
So this is something Seth Kaiser tweeted out earlier today. He said, did fans of teams Deion Sanders played for complain constantly about his tackling? Serious question. On a related note, Peters created more turnovers in his first 3 years than Sanders did in literally any three-year stretch of his career. Which I feel like if you're having any issues keeping up on exactly how valuable Marcus Peters is to this team, that should help. But the club control aspect of this is one of the things that it just seems like people either don't understand or don't care to understand because it pokes some holes in their argument. The Chiefs can easily control Marcus Peters for the next 3 years. With the $3 million salary this year, the fifth-year option, and the franchise tag, if Verderam came up with about a $28 million number for those next 2 years, that would make sense. It would be about it would probably be like $9 million next year, then maybe $15 million under the franchise tag. Mm-hmm. And franchise tags are expensive. You're probably trying to sign your guy to a long term deal by then anyway. Frankly, and he can now, I think after his third year, can be signed to an extension this offseason. I think there's a chance we see a move in that direction this offseason. Because you don't want to do what you did to Eric Berry and Justin Houston. You wait for them to have career years, pay out the nose for them, and then all of a sudden you're tied up long-term in a guy that ends up with some sort of injury problems. Peters has been injury-free, basically, through his career, so that's a good start for the Chiefs. But it's just beyond me trying to find places where you could even consider that you could improve this team over the next 3 years. The next 3 years are the 3 years where the Chiefs have to believe they have a Super Bowl window opening up.
Yes.
You have a Super Bowl window opening up. Say it's not this year.
No.
Say it. You get Mahomes in his rookie year. Close. And you're building into the future. Well, 2019 and 2020 are the years where you're still getting Mahomes on a rookie deal. You still have control of all of your stars. Basically, your whole offensive line is locked up. You have the core of a team already built for this three-year stretch. Moving Marcus Peters is just setting your timeline back, and you don't want to set your timeline back any more than you already have because you want to get the Mahomes and Kareem Hunt, you know, especially for the offense, and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. You want that core to be what you're building around, not setting yourself back trying to make a run in 2022 whenever literally no one is under contract.
25 picks in 3 years, or 25 turnovers in 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, why? Why get rid of that?
There's no way.
It just doesn't make any sense.
There's no way to do anything other than to set back your own timeline to win a Super Bowl.
Especially on the defensive side of the ball where they need players the most.
Yes.
They've pretty much got everything set for the most part on the offensive side of the ball. And defense, there's a bunch of question marks.
Yep.
And you have, like I said, the best player on your defense, and you're talking about trading him because he's not good to the organization, or
still an exaggeration.
Yeah, he brings drama and he brings flack to the organization and a bad look. Like, come on.
And you look at the
it's not enough to trade him.
You look at the salary situation for 2019, where again you've got Justin Houston and Eric Berry and Eric Fisher and Travis Kelce and LDT and Mitchell Schwartz and Pat Mahomes and Chris Jones and Reggie Ragland and Tano Passanio and Parker Anker and Kareem Hunt and DeMarcus Robinson and Tyreek Hill. They're in this order because this is their declining salaries. You have all those guys locked up for the next 2 years. You'll add Marcus Peters to that with a fifth-year option. You build whatever you can this offseason by way of bringing in more pass rushers and everything. And again, I think if you're in Brett Veach's head, you are assuming that you are absolutely contending in 2019. If you were to trade Marcus Peters, it's for a guy who, in an absolute dream scenario, would become Marcus Peters 3 years from now.
Right.
And you're back in the same place. You're taking this unbelievable gamble because you don't like his demeanor. Like it's absolutely absurd. It just doesn't make any sense.
The Giants' big blue view, their SB, their Arrowhead Pride, basically.
Uh-huh, SB Nation blog.
Yeah, just put out an article saying Marcus Peters for Eli Apple. Is this a deal that the Giants should make?
That's a deal they should make. Yeah, didn't Eli Apple fall off last season?
Yes,
didn't
yes,
he ended up in some. Somebody called him like a cancer.
One of his teammates. The team hates
him. Yeah.
I do know that.
Something with domestic violence, maybe?
I don't think so.
Just the team. It's just the players hate him. They call him a cancer or whatever.
There was a player that called him a cancer after the season. There's an ESPN.com article right now. Potential Giants cuts. Brandon Marshall, Eli Apple among tough decisions.
Landon Collins called him.
Okay.
This is something where I think the Kansas City media has to actually just like eat this. This is something that we have done, that some of us have done. Marcus Peters is not the Chiefs Eli Apple. No one on the team has called him a cancer. He's not a cut consideration. He's one of the five best cornerbacks in football, and literally everyone who watches tape would agree with that. Like that's an unimpeachable perspective. The idea that is up for debate is absolutely baffling, and it shows you how far off we are on the Marcus Peters conversation. We're not anywhere close to reading articles on ESPN.com about the Chiefs cut Marcus Peters, the Giants going to cut Eli Apple. That is so far. It's so far from comparable.
Yeah. It's. Why did he call him a cancer? I'm trying to look at that.
I can't remember. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I think okay. I've got the article pulled up. I'll look.
But either way, it's not worth it. And
no, you can't. You can't get Marcus Peters' value back from Marcus Peters.
Right.
It's impossible. There's no fathomable way to do that. And again, it's.
What?
It's Marcus Peters at his value in the window that you think you can win a Super Bowl. Trading him only sets you back.
Also, really quickly, Apple was also suspended by the Giants last year for the final game of the season due to, quote, conduct detrimental.
I knew there was something with that, yeah.
Yeah, and that's sure also that's also what Peters ended up being suspended
right.
for.
What?
That's comparable. The idea that he's, like, he must be moved on from.
Collins just
insane.
Said he was a cancer. That was all I saw. Needs to grow up.
Yeah, well,
what are you gonna say, Charlie?
What would it take for you? Obviously, if the Chiefs were to willing, or if they do trade him, it would have to be for a ridiculous deal in their favor, similar to like the Alex Smith deal or something like that.
Which
we can get to that after this. But what would it take for you to maybe even start listening? At least a first round pick. At least.
Yeah, it would be like the number four pick.
Yeah.
And something else.
And then a third, maybe. A first and a third, or a first and a fourth, or something like that. Like,
I mean, it might be
so ridiculous.
It might
that
be a four and
even,
Myles Garrett.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was the number
like
one pick last year. Like, it would be a guy at that caliber.
Mm-hmm.
There's a clip right now on ESPN of Jimmy Kimmel handing Kyrie Irving a basketball painted like the earth.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it would be like the Browns coming and saying, "Hey, we'll give you Myles Garrett."
Yeah.
And maybe it's Myles Garrett for Marcus Peters straight up, or it's the fourth pick and like a third for Marcus Peters.
Right.
And, yeah, and that is, because if you are taking a gamble. How many, like, wasn't Vernon Golston a number four overall pick for the Jets like 5 years ago? Like, you can take some shots. Let's make it local. Glenn Dorsey was the number five overall pick. Tyson Jackson went three. Eric Fisher went one. Marcus Peters is running laps around all of those guys.
Oh.
Like, huge, enormous laps
multiple
around
laps,
all
yes.
of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Even the top of the draft is a crapshoot. I'm not interested in investing in a crapshoot whenever you have a sure thing.
Right.
Golson was the sixth pick.
Damn it. Off by
also
two.
Also hasn't played since 2012.
Yeah, right. I know. Yeah. He was just the first guy I thought of whenever that a guy who busted out really quick. What year was he drafted in?
2008.
Okay. So 4 years. That's about right. I would have assumed it was later than that, but okay.
Yeah.
Two with the Jets, one with the Bears, one with the Rams.
Yeah.
The last two were just practice squad members.
Okay. And so he was only with the Jets for 2 years.
So yeah, he just jumped
that makes
around.
Sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you could do it for Glenn Dorsey and Tyson Jackson, and you can do it for basically any draft. You go to the top of any draft, you're going to find just whiffs whenever it comes to trying to find defensive players. I mean, if you, like, yeah, objectively, if you, you could ask, would you rather be in control of Jalen Ramsey or Marcus Peters, then you would rather be in control of Jalen Ramsey because he is a rookie and he has more years before he has to get paid. But the Jags know that also. Like, that's the only comparable situation. You have one of the best situations in football whenever it comes to having 3 years of still value of control of this guy at one of the most important positions in football, and you're talking about shipping him for, like, and shopping him at least. Maybe because Clark Hunt didn't like that he wasn't standing for the anthem. And boy, if there was something to that eventually, if that did end up becoming, like, somehow, it would, no one would ever say it. But if they traded Marcus Peters and then that came out as the reason behind it, that would be an absolutely crippling blow to Clark Hunt. Can you imagine? This is already a fan base that has very little patience for Clark Hunt and that thinks Clark Hunt is too comfortable just having a five, you know, having a team that wins the division and loses in the playoffs, just having a team that wins at some level. It would be crippling to the appearance of Clark Hunt if he was going to ship out a top five defender under the age of, what, 25, in football because he didn't like what he was standing or not standing for.
Not only that, but it would hurt the look of Brett Veach and the progression that he's made.
Oh, for sure.
And it would hurt him equally as much.
Peter's like, just turned 25.
Right. And so Cody and I were talking about this last night. So they have him for 3 years.
Yep.
Corners are obviously one of the most important positions on the field in football.
Mm-hmm.
But they're also one of the shortest primes for a football player.
Yep.
And so the Chiefs, if they pick up the fifth-year option and the franchise tag, they'll have him until 28.
Yes. Darrell Revis is
pretty much done
for the
most part.
Yeah, I think he's 31?
32.
32, okay.
And so you Marcus Peters' prime could be done by the time the Chiefs are done with him.
Yeah, well, and so...
And so, like, that's another reason to not get rid of him, because you have him in his prime right now, and you ride that as long as it's going to go.
Yes.
And then if you decide to franchise tag him, and then you don't want to give him a long-term deal, the Browns will come and give him a long-term deal after that franchise tag or something.
And I would still be on board with a long-term deal in this, like, currently. So you lock him up for the next, you know, five years.
Like right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
I don't want to give him a five-year deal whenever he's 27 by any means.
Exactly.
No, of course not. But if you wanted to lock that up now, I'd have no problem with that. Also, I do think that Mark, because we talked about Nnamdi Asamoah back on Monday or Tuesday, and Revis also. But I do think Marcus Peters is going to be able to have a game that does translate into old age pretty well. Mm-hmm. He already doesn't have crazy high, like, top end speed. He's not hanging with the burners for that reason. He's unbelievably good at reading quarterbacks and reading the field.
Yes.
So I think that even as his speed declines, whenever he hits 28 or whatever, 28 or 29, which is 3 or 4 years from right now, even then, I don't think he's ever going to become. I don't think he's going to become a liability. Mm-hmm. I think he'll become just a guy who's doing it with less speed than he was doing it through his first few years.
And those 25 turnovers that I mentioned,
mm-hmm.
that's with quarterbacks and just offensive scheme throwing away from him.
Yeah,
and like going away from him, not like, oh, they might run towards him because he can't tackle.
Right.
I'm giving quotes.
Charlie's just throwing down air quotes right now.
But like that's 25 without them like going to him all the time and all that. And going back to that the Giants SB Nation page, a lot of people are quote tweeting that and like with ridiculous trade offers. Like I quote tweeted and said, might as well trade Paul Perkins for Kareem Hunt while you're at it.
Right. Yes.
And or a comparable ridiculous deal on the KC side, OBJ for Chris Conley.
Ooh, that's good. I like that one. That's pretty good.
I also saw some guy do, I'll trade a piece of fruit for a filet mignon.
Also funny.
Yeah. So it's
also because his name is Apple.
Hey, there you go.
And just for what it's worth, Deion Sanders' last Pro Bowl year was at age 32. I don't know if that means anything or not. It's just, that's just out there. I forgot he came back. He like was out in 2000 and then came back for the 04 and 05 seasons with Baltimore.
Kind of like Breeders.
Like, as a it says listed as a receiver here in 04 with the Ravens. I guess it was like a kick returner. I don't know. I forgot that even happened. But his last season as a pure corner was at age 33. He was a Pro Bowler at 32. But he did only start 14 games that year. Hmm. Anyway, just something. He was a first-team All-Pro, which is not a fan voting contest like the Pro Bowler, at age 31.
Well, and
that's top of the ceiling. Like, right. That's ceiling, obviously.
And Darrell Revis' best year, or not best year, but one of his last good year was when he was 30, when he had the Patriots Super Bowl year.
Yeah, and he bounced around a little bit before that also. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Here, let's go ahead and we're gonna have a clear blanket statement, and we'll take a break and we'll come back and talk about, you know, why Beards wasn't at lunch today. The Chiefs would be worse if they traded Marcus Peters.
Much worse.
It would make no sense for the logic of where they think their Super Bowl window is going to open, which is within the next 3 years, when Marcus Peters will be here that whole time. Also, Jason LaCanfora is thirsty as hell.
Yes.
And the icicle.
Apparently a lot of people in Kansas City are too.
Gulp, gulp, gulp. And the icicle is the perfect murder weapon. If you missed the segment, just heard that part, that's exactly what you missed.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.